Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. I enjoyed listening and also the discussion, Philippe. I think we have a few common points. So what I'm going to do is I'll talk a little bit about the relevance to the project on intangible assets. Then I'll make some observations of what I think might be useful for the paper, and then some suggestions for future work. I'll skip the takeaways. Just one thing, I don't know if it's only me, but talking about missing gap, there is gap between market value and book value, there is missing information, but if the gap is missing, then there's nothing to solve. This paper is relevant to the project on intangible assets that the ISB started in April last year. And this project has the objective to improve the information about intangibles that companies provide in the financial statements and to update IAS 38, particularly with the focus on new types of intangibles and new ways of using them. In the paper, the authors refer to an ISB staff paper from last year where where the ISB discussed the feedback from initial outreach on investors from some surveys and some meetings with investors. And the authors seemed to suggest that there was support for recognizing human capital in the balance sheet. I just want to make one important clarification here that what was heard in these surveys, and the authors referred to that in the presentation, but there was something in the paper that I want to clarify. We did hear that investors and other stakeholders think there's insufficient information about intangible assets, about human capital in the financial statements, but there was no interest in recognizing human capital, and among the concerns that were heard were the usual commercial sensitivity, the cost of providing the information, and also how to reliably measure the information, and so on. And currently, human capital does not meet the definition, and it is an intangible item. So it's outside the scope of the project, but the ISSB is working on human capital, so there is we are keeping an eye on what they're doing, and it may be that later on the ISB might consider what to do on this topic. Some observations, I think some of them Philippe mentioned, so I will be very brief on this. I think it will be useful if the authors explain a little bit more in the paper what is this asset that they're proposing to be added to the balance sheet. Do they view this as protecting the intellectual property or the trade secrets of the company? And in this case, wouldn't the value be reflected in the value of these assets already? Or is the asset maybe related to increased retention, which would lead to less employees leaving the company? Just, it wasn't very clear in the paper. And another question is, how much of human capital is captured by these non-compete clauses? Because if there is a company with one employee that has a non-compete clause and another one with a lot of employees, does the difference between these companies reflect the difference in the human capital of each of those companies? And are there any avenues, and again, Philippe pointed to internally generated R&D and other assets, are there any avenues of capturing human capital? And then there is the measurement. The paper measures the value of the non-compete using some arbitrary assumptions. I mean, that's often necessary in research, but what if this was required, made into a requirement, how would the cost be audited, for example? Or would it require implementing systems that track the number of employees, the number of non-compete clauses, how they change from year to year and so on. And the other issue is about enforceability, because if enforceability differs from country to country, and this presumably affects the use of non-compete clauses, then ISB works with many jurisdictions, so would that create a massive comparability issue? And finally, I wanted to link this work to the work that we've been doing in one of the work streams of the Intangible Asset Project, which is focuses on investor user needs. So we've been looking in more detail at intangible intensive industries and preparing some materials to then use and talk to investors about, to try and understand what information they would like to know and how they view, what ways they view of improving this information. And we've started having some of these conversations. So one take on this is that investors potentially focus more on the benefits that intangible assets provide rather than the intangible asset value. For example, how research would lead to unique selling proposition or patents to barriers to entry. And that's why they are interested in the value, or likely interested in the value creation of the intangible asset base rather than the individual intangible assets. So how is this related to the paper? Well, recognition may not be the only way to solve this issue of insufficient information or improving the information. And it may not be just disclosure, it could be a combination. I think what would be interesting and informative to add to the paper is, for example, what companies, take a look at what companies disclose about human capital in the narratives, and also in the financial statements, how much disaggregated information they provide about employee costs, and does this vary from company to company? And because when the information in the narratives is linked to information in the financial statements, this may help investors assess how effective the spending on these employee costs and human capital is. So to operationalize in the paper, this in the paper, you could perhaps capture somehow the narrative disclosures and then the amount of information in the financial statements and interact these measures with your as if capitalized human capital measure and see if perhaps it improves the usefulness of financial statement information or the contribution of this human capital measure to explaining to the explanatory power. So this is all I had, and thank you very much, and sorry about the technical mishap.